presence of the Lord, saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. Amen. Amen. May God of the blessings of hearers and doers of his word. The grass wither, the flower fade away, but the word of God stands forever. Amen. I want to use for thought or tag a title and a sub. The first is, when you're down, God can lift you up. And the subtitle is, send me, I'll go. Amen. Amen. I hope that's what we'll be once the message is done. I hope that we all say, send me, I'll go. Amen. The book of Isaiah is named for the prophet. He's one of what we would call a major prophet. And the reason that he's called in the category of a major prophet is not that he was major. It's more that he had more to write and to say than other people such as Amos or Micah or Malachi. But he was one of the major prophets. And Isaiah was able to prophesy to and to lead or to give spiritual counsel to four kings of the kingdom of Judah. He was able to give counsel to four kings. And out of the four, there was one that was kind of evil. His name was Ahaz. And so he was able to give counsel to them. And at this time in history, Uzziah was the king. And King Uzziah, amen, he was a good king. He had a lot of respect from the people, because under his leadership, nobody was unemployed. They had great financial success. They had great military success. The kingdom was strengthened, and they had peace throughout the kingdom. Well, under Uzziah's reign, that happened. But one day, King Uzziah decides that he wants to go into the temple and forces his way in, and he wants to sacrifice. Well, that was not for him to do. He was the king, but he was not the priest. And because he did that, God had caused him to become leprous because of him usurping the authority of a priest and getting in a place that he should not have been. Amen. That goes to show us, and it is important for us to know, that if you're not supposed to be doing something, don't try to do it. Amen. If God didn't call you to it, you work what God called you to work in. Amen. Amen. Don't try to overstep your bounds. In this day and age, people are pressured because they want to be famous, and they want to have people to call their name and give a title to them, and they want to be noticed and recognized, and they want the biggest plates, and they want to sit in the pulpit, and they're not even pulling people out of the pit, but they just want to be noticed, and they don't understand that call is something that God has to give you. It's not something that you just decide that you want to do. Uzziah decided he wanted to go and sacrifice in place of the priest. And God gave him leprosy. And when he got leprous, he could not, according to the law, be around people. So his last years he spent isolated from people. And his son Jotham had to be his governmental counsel to the people, because he could not be in front of people. He could not go among people. He could not go in the feast and all of these things because of what he'd done. He had done some good things, but his one disobedience, his one bad thing that he'd done, left him isolated. So what happened is he got built up in pride, because everything's going good. Because everything's going my way, because Israel is successful under my reign, and everybody else has been struggling since Solomon died, but here I am, and everything's going my way. And you know, we got to be careful when things are going good for us that we don't get off track. Because a lot of times when it's going good, we get off track and we think that it's all right to do what we want to do. I do what I want to do. This is my life. But before you had your life in the state that it's in now, you were seeking God every day. You was praying all the time. But now all of a sudden things are going good, and now we're not seeking God like we should. And then just like Uzziah, he made a mistake, and it left him isolated. He suffered a punishment because he knew better. I can understand if he didn't know, but he knew it was the wrong thing to do, and he did it anyway. But here it was, he was still a beloved man. He was still loved by everybody in the kingdom. And so here it is, Isaiah says, now in the year that King Uzziah died, he said, I also saw the Lord sitting upon the throne high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Look at what he envisioned. We understand that he was going through some times because the people were sad. He was sad because the name Uzziah, it means my uncle, the king. The year that my uncle, the king, the champion of the kingdom, when he died, I saw the Lord. A lot of times when we have situations that causes us to be sad, whether it's death, whether it's a situation that comes up and it's unfavorable to us, when we see those situations, a lot of times we don't look to the Lord. We look to our own abilities. We look to somebody else's ability helping us. We look to everything else, but we don't look for the Lord. The one thing that Isaiah did was he continued to go into the temple. He continued to go into the church. And a lot of times when people go through, the first thing they say is, I'm just going to stay home. Amen. We got to stop saying that, because even though Isaiah went to the temple week after week and ceremony after ceremony, he did not see the Lord. But this one time, see, you don't know when God is going to do something. So don't take advantage and take the opportunity to miss out on what God might do. He might do it this Sunday. Uh-huh. He might even do it on Thursday. If he did it on Thursday, a whole bunch of folks would miss it. Lord, help me today. Uh-huh. Yeah, y'all got that one. Yeah, and so if he did it, we got to understand God can do what he wants. He's a sovereign God. What Isaiah looked at was the sovereignty of the state of the kingdom that he lived in and the king that was attached to it. He said, boy, it's a sad day. It's a sad year because of the thing that we've lost, this great man that led us. And now what are we going to do? And we got to understand, too, that after his death, the kingdom declined and it got bad. They went into idol worship. So here's Isaiah. He's saying that I saw the Lord. We got to be able to see God in the midst of our trouble. We got to be able to see God in the midst of our trials and our tribulation. We got to look unto the hills for what's coming. Our help comes from the Lord. We got to see him. What are you envisioning today? Are we seeing God in our situations? Are we seeing the trouble? So much around us, and every time I turn around, I see trouble in my way. Every time I move, I got a mountain there. I can't see what direction I need to go in. What are we envisioning? Are we envisioning the mountain of debt that we've had it up to here with our problems? What are we envisioning? I'm envisioning the Lord sitting upon the throne, high and lifted up. He said, I saw the Lord sitting on the throne, high and lifted up, and look at this, his train filled the temple. That means that when he saw the person of God, he understood that the presence of God was in the building. He said his train filled. God is so big that he filled the place up. His train filled the temple. In other words, the robes of God, it filled the temple. But God was high and lifted up, but he let his train fill the temple. God is up there, amen. God is bigger than us, amen. He's bigger than our problems. He's bigger than our situations, amen. And so when we look at what he said, and above it stood the seraphims. One had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. So what he's saying here is that I saw not only the Lord, but I saw the activity around the throne. I saw that even though my world seemed to stop, that God's world never stopped. Amen. Although I'm having trouble, God still has peace where he is. That's why it's important for us to get in the presence of God, because in his presence there is fullness of joy, and at his right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Amen. And so he says that I saw the Lord high lifted up, and then I seen the seraphim. What is a seraphim? The word seraph means fiery. It means high. It means fiery. It means shining and fiery. So he saw the angels, the seraphims, and he said each one of them had six wings. Six is the number of man, to let us know that this was a sign for Isaiah to understand that even the seraphim, he said that with the six wings, he said with two he covered his face, with two he flew, and with two he covered his feet. In other words, the seraphim had sense enough to know that I can't, even though I'm in the presence of God, I can't just look at him. The seraphim used what they had. They said, look, I got to make sure I'm saying what I'm supposed to say. I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. Look at what he says in verse 3. And one cried to another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his what? Glory. He said, they said one to another. They begin to testify to one another about the holiness of God. But we, when we see trouble and when we're in trouble, we don't testify of how good God is. We glorify how bad the devil's been treating us. We talk about all the bad things that he's done to us and how he's got the advantage over us. But let me tell you something. I dare you to just start giving God praise in the midst of your trial, in the midst of your storm, in the midst of your tribulation, and begin to declare one to another that God is holy. What does holy mean? It means that God is separated. God is not like man. God is not man. Amen. God is holy. He is pure. He is right. He is the brightest of lights. You got to understand that when you look at a light, there's no darkness in light. So God is separated from the darkness. He's separated from what's wrong. He's separated from evil. Amen. He's holy. He's just. He's right. He's just and he's right. And so since he's just and he's right, he's holy, they begin to say the earth is full of his what? Glory. Now in Isaiah's mind, the earth couldn't be full of his glory, because look, my uncle's dead. Israel's about to suffer. Things are changing. I'm having a bad time. Where is God? The seraphims reminded them that the earth is still full of his glory. The seraphims reminded them that in spite of what you're going through, God is still present and right here. That's what we fail to see. We say, where is God through the storm? We're like the disciples that were on the ship. The disciples said, well, Lord, carest thou not that we perish when the ship begin to take on water? And they had to wake Jesus up. Some of us need to wake up ourselves. Come on and say amen. Some of us need to wake up ourselves and realize that if it had not been for the Lord on the ship, we'd already be gone. Hallelujah. And the post of the door, look at this, he says that first he said the earth is what? Full of his what? Glory. The glory of the Lord. In other words, you ought to be able to see God in everything. We ought to be able to see God in whatever we're dealing with. Whatever we're going through, we should be able to see the Lord. Amen. I don't know about you, but I found a way to see God. I found a way that whenever I go through trouble, I say, I know God is up to something. I know God has a way. I know that no weapon formed against me will prosper. I know that all things work together for the good to them that love God and to the called according to his purpose. I know it. Do anybody else know it other than me? Do anybody else know that if God is for us, who can be against us? Does anybody else know that God will make a way in spite of what way we are in right now? Do you know that God will give you peace in the midst of the storm? He'll give you joy in the midst of sorrow. Do you know it? When you're down, God can lift you up. Not only did he envision the person in the presence of God and what happened around the throne, but he encountered something. Look at verse 4. Verse 4 says, and the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. The post moved, the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. This is the Kabod. This is the Shekinah. This is the glory of God that he's envisioning. He said, look, I encountered something. I encountered when I saw the seraphim, when I saw not only the seraphim and the train of God, I begin to encounter. It was not only a vision, but the post of the doors begin to shake because of the praise and because of the adoration that went forth to God. What kind of praise do you have? Is your praise shaking up anything? Does your praise move anything? Look, does your praise even move you? Much less does it move God. You say you're praising God, but you don't feel no better. You say you love and you praise and you worshiping God. Ain't nothing changed. You still in the same state. You say, I get tired of just lifting my hands because it ain't nothing happening. Maybe you ought to wave them the next time. He said the post of the door was moved at the voice of him that cried. What happened is when the seraphims begin to cry, the doorposts begin to shake. Because when you praise, when the praises go up, the blessings come down. But let me tell you what really happens. When the praises go up, the blesser himself. And when God is present, he shakes things. The earth begins to what? Quake. The earth is the footstool of God. And when God pats his feet at your praise, Lord, help me today. He says that the door began to move at him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. In other words, now I can't see. And you know, that's good. Because the bad thing is that we come to church and we look at people. And now Isaiah said, I can't see nobody. You watch, you keep watching. We'll see what he sees in a minute. But he said, I can't see nobody else. All I see is the smoke, the glory of God. That's why when we come to church, we ain't got no business looking at everything else. We should be looking at God. If we can't see him, we should be looking for him. Oh, come on and say amen here. We should be looking for God. And when we look for God, we ought to be able to see the train of God, the smoke of God, the glory of God filling the temple. When the glory of God is present, then there is no devil present. Lord, help me today. That ought to make you want to praise God. That ought to make you want to lift him up. That ought to make you want to do something out of the ordinary, amen, to get God's presence here. Because I don't know about you, but I fight the devil seem like every minute or hour there's some kind of demonic force or activity that's in our lives. Come on and say amen. And so since there's a devil loose, I need to praise God to get his presence here, because then I don't see the devil and I don't see my haters either. Come on and say amen. When I look around, I don't see my haters. I don't see the devil. I ain't got time to see all of that stuff that you see. I'm just looking for God. And that person that telling you, well, you seen that at church. You seen how they acted. You seen this and you seen that. You see, when they telling you that, they need to be looking at God too. Oh, yeah, I don't know who you are, but you in here today. You don't need to be looking at everybody else and what's going on. And did you see how she looked? And look at what she got on. You don't need to be doing that. You need to be in the smoke. Can I get a few people that say, I want to be in the smoke, preacher. I don't want to be looking at everybody else. I want to be in the smoke. I want to be in the cloud of God's glory. I want to be in the place where I can't see what they're doing, but I'm only looking at what I'm doing. He had an encounter. He was in the smoke. Lord, help me today. And when you get in the smoke, you don't see other folks. You don't see all the other stuff. Look, the smoke made him forget about his uncle dead. The smoke made him forget about it. Look at what it did in verse number 5. Then said I, woe is me. What happened when you're in the smoke? When you get in God's presence, you stop looking at other people and you start looking at you. That's what we're supposed to do. We start looking at us. He had an encounter that made him examine himself. He began to check himself. He said, woe is me, for I am undone, because I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of the people with unclean lips, and mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. He didn't say he seen his face, but he saw God. Come on and say amen. He said, woe is me. Anybody ever said, woe is me? In other words, Isaiah said, I know I'm about to die. Oh, come on and say, man. You know how it is when you have a loved one that died, you start thinking about heaven too. Preach. And Isaiah said, maybe I'm about to go because I'm seeing God. Oh, come on and say, man. But he said, "Ah, woe is me. I am undone because I'm a man of unclean lips. In other words, Isaiah said, my mouth ain't a Bible. I've told some lies. I've said some filthy things. I've talked about some people. Come on and say, man, you in here. I've done some stuff and said some stuff that I shouldn't have. Jesus tells us that what goes in a man don't defile him. but what comes out of a man defiles him. In other words, from the abundance of the heart, the mouth, what? Speak. When you start speaking evil, when you start saying stuff, you got to understand that means there's some stuff in your heart. Oh, come on and say amen. Oh, yeah, he says that when we got this stuff in our heart, it comes out through our mouth. That's why when somebody says something good about somebody and you know you hate them, you out of your mouth, you got to say something evil. You got to say, oh, they ain't no good. Don't let them fool you. They ain't, you know how we do. And so we got to see here that what goes out of us defiles us. And Isaiah realized that I've been defiling myself and I don't have no business seeing what I'm seeing because I know I'm not right. But the good thing about God is that God knows we're not right either. But he still comes among us because he loves us. Oh, come on and say amen here. Oh, yeah, we need to understand that God, Isaiah could not see God. Oh, come on and say amen until he went to church. When he went to church, he saw God. And then he saw the activities around the throne of God. And he says that, he said, I'm undone, I'm unclean, my lips are unclean. And not only am I unclean, but my homeboys, they are too. My people I associate with, birds of a feather, what? The people I hang out with, guilt by association, the people I'm with, they're the same kind of people that I am. Because we get along with people that's like us because they do the same kind of stuff we do. Come on and say amen. Oh, but he says that today is a change coming in my life. Today something's different going to happen in my life. Are y'all still there? And he says that in verse number six, he says, then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken from the tongs from the altar. Verse 6 lets us understand that encounter got even deeper when he began to see himself, when he began to confess what kind of person he was. Then God allowed a cleansing to come about. Amen. He said the seraphim, the fiery being, went and grabbed a coal from the altar. And he said in verse 7, and he laid it upon my mouth and said, this has touched thine lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin has been purged. What happened here is that Isaiah began to have an encounter with God that changed his life. Because look at what happened. He says that they took the coal from the altar. Where do we get our deliverance? It's at the altar. He needed deliverance, so he didn't go to the altar, so the altar came to him. I wish I had somebody. Sometimes God, he looks at you and he realized that you got too much pride to move, but God said, you know what, I'm going to bring it to you. And I'm thankful that we got that kind of God that won't let me just sit here and be unclean. I'm thankful that we got that kind of God that said, I know you can't do it yourself, I'm going to do it for you. When we were sinners and we were on our way to a burning hell, God said they can't save themselves, so Jesus came down through 39 prophets and 42 generations, and he died, he hung, bled, he died, and he rose on the third day, making sure that we were saved, because without that we could not be saved. Thankful that God came to us. He took a coal from the altar with the tongs. It was hot, and he cauterized the lips of Isaiah, the mouth of Isaiah. Why did he do that? Because that's where the issue was. That's where the problem was. If we tell the truth, our problem is our mouth. James even told us that the tongue is one powerful thing. He said that the tongue was set on fire, the course of nature. He said, if you can find a perfect man, you found a man who can tame his tongue, somebody who know how to be quiet when they're supposed to. I wish I had somebody. He said that we got two ears and one mouth. Be swift to hear and be slow to speak. James said it, and we got to understand that Jesus said it, and we got to understand that Isaiah is telling us and showing us that his problem was his mouth, but God fixed his mouth. And you know how it is when we first come to God, the first thing we say, I'm going to stop lying. I'm going to stop cussing. I'm going to stop talking crazy. I'm going to stop all this crazy talk because we want to be right. And guess what? Our tongue, our language is wrong. God will change our language and the way we talk, because many of us, we talk so negative and we're not positive. We say all kind of wrong things, and it's because our mouth is not right. But thanks be to God, let God cleanse your lips. You know how it is when you're down. If it wasn't for bad luck, I wouldn't have none. You know how it is when you're down? This stuff that I'm going through seems like every time I turn around, the devil just keep knocking me down. I don't know if I'm going to make it. I can't see my way out. You know how we talk? When you're down, God will lift you. We talk all that negativity, but then God said, let me clean your mouth up. It's important for us to say the right things. Because the Bible says in Proverbs that life and death is in the power of the tongue. He said that you're snared by the words of your mouth. What is he saying? And what I set a trap for my own self because of what I say. Lord, help me, Holy Ghost. I set a trap for my own self because I don't know how to talk. Because I say the wrong things. Anybody with me today? I say the wrong stuff. When I keep saying I'm sick and tired, and guess what? You are sick and you're tired. When you say this got on my last nerve, now you can't take nothing else. Oh, come on and say, man. Oh, yeah, we say all kinds of stuff that mess up our path because we're negative. But Isaiah's mouth was cleansed. He says, this has touched thy lips and thine iniquity. Look, not only does God deal with what he said, but he deals with what's down on the inside. Iniquity is a hidden guilt. Iniquity is beneath the surface. That's why when the Bible says that he was bruised for our iniquity, a bruise is under the skin, right? And so what Jesus did, he was bruised for our iniquity. He was bruised for the things that are underneath this flesh, the hidden things that we don't tell nobody, the mess that we know we got going on the inside of us that we're ashamed to talk about, ashamed to confess. Come on and say, man. Oh, yeah, he said and thy iniquity has been taken away. Your guilt has been taken away and your sin has been purged. In other words, I've cleaned you up and I've cleaned your mouth up so that you'll be able to do what I want you to do. And he says in verse number 8, after he come to church, going somewhere, after he had been in the temple and saw the Lord, after he confessed and was converted, after he was cleaned up, verse 8 says, I heard the voice. You can't hear God till you get it right. You can't hear God till your mouth is right. You can't hear God till your heart is right. You can't hear God till you start seeking God. He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. He tells us that we need, he said that he'll reward us that diligently what? Seek him. We need to seek the Lord. And so, in other words, now that he had and he had envisioned this, he had encountered, and he was enlightened.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Wells Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Tempe, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Tempe, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessing. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
Be a witness and make a difference by letting the world know it isn't cool and by letting your friend know you care. Learn more at eyewitnessbullying.org, brought to you by the Ad Council.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Wells Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968. 8, Tempe, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Tempe, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to